With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning to all my COVID lockdown buddies. If you guys are from Ontario, you guys are probably aware that we're back into another 28-day lockdown. Hopefully this one goes a lot smoother than last year. Today on the podcast, we have Lee Ross. She's a newer hunter from down in southern Ontario. She's part of the Canadian Huntress brand, and they have a new show that's going to be on Canada Hunts, airing on Wild TV coming up this year sometime. So when I find out, I'll share it for them and get it out there so you guys can kind of stay tuned to check it out. This was a good podcast. She, like I said, she's a newer hunter. She's always been an outdoorsman and or outdoors woman. But, yeah, you could tell she has a passion for it. She loves it. And, we kind of get into her, you know, stepping into the filming part of the hunting industry and, kind of some of her adventures and stuff. So, hopefully you guys enjoy.
It sounds like one over there again.
I know he's still in the area. I hope he brings out a cow with him.
You are listening to the Northern Boys Outfitting Podcast.
It doesn't get any better than this. Meat in the freezer.
So, how's it going?
Not too bad.
How's your hunt this so far this year? Your deer hunt there? Did you... did you have any luck or anything like that, or was it pretty pretty eventful?
Not really, no. I had a big buck come onto my camera. I was watching for quite a while and never happened to be there at the same time as he was. But the camp that we rifle hunt at, there were five deer shot, so it wasn't...
That's good.
...successful.
A little bit of meat in the freezer.
Yeah, quite a bit. Actually.
This year was a little rough there, I found, for most people there.
Yeah.
Kind of, maybe just tell everybody, like, who you are, where you're from, just, you know, a little bit of backstory kind of thing.
Okay. So my name is Lee. I live in Muskoka. I grew up in Hamilton. I grew up fishing, but I didn't really get into hunting until about 3 years ago. And then once I started, I just kind of got hooked, and now it's, I'm obsessed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you got a great Instagram. It's nice to see, you put up a lot of pictures, a lot of nice pictures too, which is key.
Yeah.
It's nice to see, you're always out there doing something.
Yeah, I try. I don't like sitting around. So
yeah, no, definitely. Who got you started into hunting? Like, who influenced you?
I don't really know. So my husband's always hunted, and I never really had a desire to hunt with him. It wasn't, you know, he'd go away for the week moose hunting, and it was like, get the house to myself sort of thing. But, I don't know. I got my PAL 4 years ago, and I thought maybe I'll get my hunting license as well. And I didn't end up getting that for months later. And, so I don't know. I, I really don't know what made me want to start.
And for people who don't know, you're part of you're on Wild TV right now. It was a show, or you were?
Will be. Yeah, it'll be out in the spring. Yeah,
the spring. So you've been filming all of last year and this year, the bit of this year, or just this year?
Just this year. Started filming
just this year. Yeah.
Yeah, last spring.
Okay. Are you able to say? Yeah, you're able to say what the show is and everything, right?
Yeah, so it's there's three of us. We're all part of Canadian Huntress, and
yep.
It's just basically following our hunting, fishing adventures, I guess.
Yeah,
we've had
right on. You...
a few hunts together and some separate, so we just kind of do our thing and
yeah,
record.
You must be excited about that.
Yeah. It's not something that I necessarily had any interest in doing, but when the opportunity was presented to me, it was like, yeah, cool, why not? So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yes, yeah. Will this be your first time on a TV show?
Yep. Yep, it will be.
Yeah. Oh, right on. So do you, are you guys self-filming yourselves, or do you guys have like cameramans, or do they supply any kind of cameraman for you guys, or?
We self-film.
Self-film, yeah. So how do you enjoy that?
It's tricky. It's very hard to, like to get the right shot all the time and stuff, but
yeah.
I'm thankful for GoPros that you can control with your phone, so you can have GoPros set up and turn them on when you need to. So a little trickier in the colder weather, though, with the batteries dying.
Oh, my. That's the thing I found with our GoPros there is they calf out real quick. Like when I did my caribou hunt up northern Quebec there, it was like, I don't know how many batteries I brought with me, and they were lasting like, you know, it was minus 45 or something, just regular temp without the wind chill, and they were lasting like maybe 10 minutes at the most. Like it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I stuff them in my pockets whenever I can. I put them down my jacket, try to keep them warm, but it doesn't always help.
Yeah.
It gets pretty cold here.
No. And what did you start off hunting with? Like, did you start just kind of small game, or did you dive right into big game, or how did you kind of start?
So I actually got my license the day before deer opened here for rifle season. Like, so this will be my fourth year hunting. This was my fourth year hunting. So I got my license the day before, and then went out with my husband and a friend, and we just kind of went out when the weather was decent. I think it rained a lot that year, so we didn't really get out that much. And then last year was my first year moose hunting, and I tried to get into grouse hunting last year, but I was unsuccessful, so I kind of do everything now. But yeah, it started out with deer.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. So have you since you started, have you harvested a deer yet?
Not a deer, no. I had I was very close last year, and I'm still losing sleep over it, but I couldn't take.
Oh yeah, what happened there?
I saw a buck come in, and it was getting dark. I drew my bow, and then I couldn't see the antlers, and I stood there for about 5 minutes, and I couldn't see the antlers anymore. I started questioning, and I didn't want to take the shot. The woman we were hunting with, the landowner, she had a doe tag, but I didn't want to do that to her.
Well, yeah, you don't want to risk it or take somebody else's tag.
Yeah, so I don't know. I swear I saw antlers, but the dark and the trees, it was hard to tell, so I didn't take the shot, but I feel better knowing that I did the right thing, but...
Yeah. Well, and sometimes that leaves you dreaming about it for a long time, but it is the better thing to do.
Yeah.
The responsible thing for sure.
Awesome, I got my first bear though this year, so that was pretty cool.
I seen that, yeah, right on. And did you do all the baiting yourself, or did your husband help you, or did you just kind of wing it, or how'd you do that?
So Dana and I did a lot of it. Dana's the owner of Canadian Huntress. She and I did a lot of it. We baited near my husband's family's hunt camp, which is very close to where we live. So I would go out after work and stuff, and people would help me come out and take the food out when I had a lot. The grocery store would save pastries and stuff like that for me for bait. So
nice.
Sometimes it got a little heavy and I would
get
people to help me, but yeah, we did it all ourselves. So you feel, it feels a lot better taking that animal, knowing you did all the work yourself. So that was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. How did, how'd that story play out? Was it, pretty eventful, or was it like, did he sneak up on you, or because is that, I'm assuming that's your first time bear hunting?
I bear hunted last year, but again, I was never there when he was. I mean I knew the bear was there on the camera. I'd had, I think between the four cameras we had out, I think we had like over 15 bears on them, 15 different bears.
Okay, nice.
So I actually went out, it was later in the afternoon. I went out, I sat there. We were actually filming that day. There were four of us. So we were all out in the bush, and I was sitting there up on a ridge, actually right out in the open. And I saw him come up over the other ridge, and he started walking down, and I was shaking, trying to turn on the GoPros, and I texted everybody. I'm like, he's coming. And he came down, and the first chance I got, took a shot, right through.
Were you using the bow or rifle?
Rifle, 308. Okay. I just got it for Christmas. Yeah. One shot through the lungs. He didn't make it very far before he died. So that was pretty cool. My husband's uncle had given me his 300 Win Mag to take, and we couldn't figure out. I've used the gun before, but I wanted to shoot it a few times before going out. So we couldn't figure out how to get the safety off. So we tried and tried and tried. I said, you know what? I'm just going to take the 308. I'm going to take the gun. And the night before, a friend and I, we'd figured out how to get the safety off. But at that point, it was too dark and we'd had a few drinks already. So I said, I'm just going to take my gun. And because he was worried it wasn't going to be enough. But yeah, one shot was all it took. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's, you know, they're tough. But I mean, as long as you have a good shot placement, you know, your the caliber isn't really the big thing. It's more the where you're putting it.
Yeah.
Especially for those guys. And that was what, about a 200-pound bear? Because I think what you said, it was 140 pounds dressed or something like that.
Yeah, I think he was about 140. We didn't weigh him first,
No, just from the picture, it looks probably like he was pretty close to the 200-pound live weight probably.
Yeah, he was a good size. We butchered him ourselves. Yeah. We got quite a bit of meat.
That's awesome.
We were just so excited that didn't even think to weigh him first.
And it doesn't, in all honesty, it doesn't really matter. It's your first bear. It's a beautiful bear. And they taste great. So it's good getting that meat from them.
Yep. It was actually.
So go ahead.
My husband had actually shot a bear 2 days before I did. And then he shot one the very next day too. So we had quite a bit of bear meat.
Oh geez. Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Way to really fill the freezer. Eh?
Yeah. His were, yeah, they all great. They wandered into the yard. So he didn't try. He jokes around that I baited them for him because I left the popcorn in the yard that brought the bears in. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's, so you have plans of trying again this spring and fall for black bear? Or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You're going to try baiting and kind of try some spot and stock, or are you just going to stick to the baiting for now?
I think probably baiting. I'm really good at getting lost in that bush. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Cause with Muskoka, I'm just thinking you guys must have good amount of fields around and stuff too, eh? Or know people that have property or something that you might be able to sneak up on something.
We don't have fields really where I am. But I'm on the border of Muskoka and Halberton. So fields here, but, the bush that we hunt in, it's crown land, but, it's there's nobody back there. It's just us basically. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, we had a friend of mine, he had a couple cameras set up in the fall and he had bears on both of them. So we'll, yeah, probably.
So you got a
good population. I mean, the bears are going to come in. Yeah. We have no problem finding the bears. So
that's awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
Are you going to try your bow this year?
I don't know. If I can use a rifle, I'm going to. Just me. I might just.
Is that your favorite right now? Or.
Yeah. I bought a bow 2 or 3 years ago, and I went to an archery day, a women's archery thing, and I just fell in love with it. So I bought a bow, and when I bought it, I actually had no intention of hunting with it. And then last year, I thought, you know, I could extend my season by like 2 months if I archery hunt. Yeah. So that's when I started bow hunting.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's right on. So, how do you find, like the whole filming process and trying to like tell your story as you're filming, as you're out there hunting?
It's tricky. It's definitely tricky. You got to remember to turn cameras on and be quiet and everything, but it's kind of cool. Like I also I have a YouTube and I film for that.
Yeah,
too.
I've seen that. Yeah, you a lot of that vlog is going on there.
Yeah, I mean it's not very exciting, but I'm trying to. It's helping me get used to filming for TV.
Get used to telling your story. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, you sit there with the bear thing. Like I sat there for 3 hours with absolutely nothing. So it's hard to sit there and remember to talk to the camera and see what you're doing. So a lot of trial and error and we'll get it figured out, but
yeah. Well, and I mean, a lot of it, you're doing both for the first time where, like myself, like I started filming, well, when I was younger, but when I started filming for TV, it was like, the difference between like some, because like I've done a lot of hunting without cameras and then you start bringing all the cameras and possibly a cameraman and some stuff like that. And it's just like, you get those days where it's like, I wish I could just go hunting sometimes without having to, you know, bring everything out and get everything ready and, you know, having to think, because there's so much extra like moving and like scent, especially if you have a cameraman, like the scent and extra movement with them. And then like just everything is just, it just makes it so much harder to do what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it's difficult, and you got to carry all this stuff with you, and you're trying to be quiet, and
yeah,
make sure camera.
And it almost, I find it almost turns you into a little bit of a fair weather hunter too, because like the camera that I use, like my big main camera, it's not very water resistant. So I mean that and my shotgun mic. I mean the GoPros and action cams are good to go, but like unless I'm in somewhere where it's sheltered, if it starts pouring on me, I pretty much have to hide the big camera away or get out of there kind of thing, so it doesn't mess up on me.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is unfortunate because I've shot a lot of big animals and nice animals in pouring rain, you know, like, so it's one of those things that's kind of hard to continue hunting the way you have before sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it's nice to look back though and see the stuff that you film. That's cool, even if you
definitely, it's so rewarding to be able to go and show your family and friends and stuff like that, and especially once it's all you'll see that once it's all edited together and turned into an episode, it's really cool to see how because I used to do it before where I edited my own, but now with Fuel the Fire TV and everything like that, like I just give all my stuff to Neil and he edits, and it's really cool to see how you were thinking of like your story kind of thing and how you were filming everything, and then to see how they put it together in their own, you know, like their own style and everything like that. It's really cool to see that whole change and to see, you know, how they put your stuff together is really, really cool too. And it's also rewarding to be able to sit there with your family and watch it. So do you guys have an air date yet?
Not as far as I know. No. It's I think they're still working
just sometime
on that,
in 2021. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think awesome. It'll be early spring.
Yeah, that makes sense. What's Do you have any dislikes about the camera besides like having to, you know, haul it out there and it freezing up? Like, is there anything about filming your hunts that, not that you've had a ton of experience not filming your hunts, but is there anything that you kind of, you know, dislike about having to film everything?
It's the sitting out there. I just want to get out there and sit and, you know, try to call in the animal or whatever, but, you got to get out there and then you're making noise trying to set up. And I just don't like that. And to trying to remember, you know, turn things on and place cameras in the right spot. And I hate that. You know, I'm always afraid that the noise is going to scare, animals away stuff. I try to do it as quiet as I can, but it's just trying to remember the film thing. But I mean, it's that, it is what it is, right? It's 2020. Everybody films everything they do. So
Yeah. And the vlog thing, like I was checking it out actually just before we did it, I was checking out your YouTube and watching a few of the videos and stuff. And it's kind of nice to have that. Cause like you said, it is a practice, but it's nice too, because people can kind of follow along, you know, through your Instagram photos and go check out some of your vlogs. And then it also gives you a place to put the, like the unused footage, you know what I mean? So like, obviously you're not going to turn your bear hunt into a vlog, but I mean, if you're doing a little grouse hunt, something that's not really going to make it to Wild TV or Sportsman Channel Canada, then it's nice to have, you know, just another spot to kind of release your footage. And it gives you practice to, you know, on editing your own stuff and figuring out everything that goes into making a little video, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So I know you talked about it a little bit, but what got you into TV? Was it just like a contest or somebody contacted you, or how did that get it going?
So it was last December, I guess. Dana called me up one day and said, you know, Wild TV wants...
So did you know her from before at all?
Okay. Yeah. I'd known her for a while and we'd hunted together a few times at that point. So yeah, she just called me up and said, you know, we have this opportunity. Do you want to come on board? And I said, yeah, I would love to. So she got it all started and everything and chose the people on the show. So
nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. So have you gotten like what's your biggest takeaway now from doing it? I know you haven't gotten the complete experience yet, like once it airs and everything like that, and then, you know, everything that'll kind of combine into one experience together. But for right now, like what's your biggest takeaway from like filming your own hunts and the whole hunting process kind of thing, like with trying to keep all that stuff in mind, like what's your biggest takeaway from it so far?
I don't know. It's just all so new, right? I don't know. It's definitely a learning thing. I really don't know. That's a good question. I haven't really thought about it.
That's okay. So, do you have kids right now too?
No.
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 Do you go out with you have a big family group? Is that your family like deer hunting kind of group that you go out with there on Instagram?
So it's
just friends and family.
Friends, yeah. Yeah, a lot of them are family, but yeah, friends. We rifle hunt.
Yeah. And how long have you guys been doing that for? Or how long have they been? Has it been a while that they've had the little
hunt? Yeah, they've been doing it forever. They've been doing it forever. We just my husband and I started hunting with them last year, so.
Oh, but nice.
They've had that camp for, like, it's been in their family forever, so.
Oh, that's awesome. That's nice when you're able to join something like that. It's definitely a real cool experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun.
And then the moose hunt, is that something you guys, like, your husband did on his own kind of thing? Like, does he go up with a little group and they just kind of go and tent it? Or how do you guys end up doing that?
So his family has a hunt camp. Like close to here, like minutes from here. And there's two camps back there that moose hunt. So one camp goes in for bull tag, one goes in for cow tag. And
yeah.
I mean, obviously that's going to change next year, but so they've been hunt their group kind of has, it's changed a lot over the years, 'cause it's a lot of older guys. And he's always gone in with them. And last year was the first year that I, went in, and I think it was the first year that the other camp kind of joined them. But it was a little different this year because of COVID. Not everybody who normally came, but it was still a lot of fun. But yeah, so they go in for the week and stay there and hunt. We didn't really see anything this year, so kind of sucked, but it's still a lot of fun just being out there with people. And
oh yeah, definitely.
I gotta tell you guys, I'm really bored with just plain old salt and pepper, you know, garlic powder, Montreal steak spice, you know, just regular run-of-the-mill barbecue sauces. I'm kind of over it. And, you know, I cook a lot of wild meat. I cook a lot of fish, chicken, turkey. Like, we eat a lot of meat here. Ever since I met Ray from Kickaboo, it's just been a whole change to how I cook and the flavors I get from when I cook, especially with his meat juice marinade. You can just like lather it on like barbecue sauce and like cook it like 5 minutes before. You can marinate it for, you know, a good 24 hours. The stuff is unreal. It tastes phenomenal. He also has his spices for doing either sausages, or I just put them in like a shaker container and then just shake it over top of my meat while I'm cooking it. Works great with fish. And then same with his jerky juice. Tried making some jerky with it. Very easy to follow. You just, you know, pour it in, let it soak, take it out, dehydrate it. You have excellent tasting jerky without having to add any other flavors or any other spices to it. And the best of all,
with the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's not very salty, which is a huge thing that usually people mess up. You just throw his spices in and you don't have to worry about anything else. Also, local, from Ontario. So it's just supporting somebody who's working really hard to do what he loves. So head over to kickabooshop.com if you want 10% off the checkout. Kika, NBO, KIKANBO.
Have you been doing a lot of fishing lately there this year, or in between the hunting? Is it kind of taken away from your fishing game a bit, or?
I do. In the summer, I hunt, like, I fish almost every day. My husband got sick back in the spring, so, or in the fall, so I haven't really done as much fishing as I want to. But actually, I went out last night, and I think that was the first time since September that I've been fishing, which is really weird. I'm kind of going through withdrawals. hunting does kind of take away from it more in the fall, which is fine because I'm still getting out there and doing something. But I definitely don't fish as much in the fall, just because of hunting.
So how do you compare the hunting to the fishing? Do you prefer one over the other, or is it kind of just, you just like enjoy getting out?
I like them both. At the beginning, I would have said fishing for sure, but I think they're both just, I don't know, both just so much fun. They're just so different too, right? I couldn't pick, if I was asked to pick one for the rest of my life, I couldn't do it. There's no way.
No way. And I seen you started ice fishing already.
There's at least 6 inches out in front of our place, so
nice.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I was hoping to do some wolf hunting while I was waiting for the ice to freeze, but now that it's frozen, I kind of got a little bit lazy there. Haven't been out wolf hunting.
Well, I mean, it's there's some people even further north than myself, they do both. They'll set up something right on the lake and ice fish at the other end, kind of thing. And kind of kill two birds with one stone.
Well, where I'm going to be wolf hunting, you can't ice fish on the lake in the winter. Obviously in the winter, you can't ice fish on the lake. So
yeah,
kind of got to pick one. It sucks.
Gotcha. Yeah. But
it would be perfect if you could, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have a game plan for wolf hunting, or do you know somebody who has knowledge on it, or are you just going to try it all on your own and try to make something happen?
Gonna try it on my own. There's a few of us that are gonna go in and hunt there. There's just a lot of wolves around, so there's a few of us that go in over the winter and hunt, and they've just been so bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, they're getting pretty crazy. Even actually, I went out bird hunting with my dog there last week, and just walking one of the trails there, we ended up having a whole pack there start howling around us, and they're all over the place, even like, you know, chasing the deer around still right now. So,
we were at ice fishing one night last winter, and it was, I don't even think it was that late. And my friends were all in the hut, and I was outside, and I had a headlamp on, and I'm looking down the hole and fishing, and I turn the headlamp off and I look up, and there's a wolf, and it's maybe 50 feet away from me, and it starts walking towards me. And jeez. I went into the hut, and I'm like, guys, there's a wolf outside. And of course, nobody believed me. They all thought I was crying wolf. And they went out, and a couple of them saw it. And my husband started up a snowmobile and was trying to run it off. And he couldn't see it, but the wolf was gone. But we could hear the wolves and the coyotes howling up over the hill on the lake the whole time we were out there. But yeah, I mean, if I hadn't turned that headlamp off, I wouldn't have seen that wolf.
Yeah.
Who knows how close. And a friend of mine, he had a pop-up hut set up just down from us. And his dog was in the tent with him. And the wolf came up to him. And I don't know if it stole his fish or tried to steal his fish that was on the ice. But it got right up to his hut. Yeah.
They're pretty ballsy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. Do you guys do a lot of, or have you guys done any kind of coyote hunting or anything like that around where you guys are, or is this going to be your first time kind of predator hunting?
It'll be my first time. My husband shot a few, like nuisance ones here. The thing is though, like, so the, where we lived before, like we lived on the other side of the line. So like we still lived in town, but like there's an invisible line that divides Muskoka and Haliburton. And on the Haliburton side, you can't wolf hunt because you're too close to Algonquin Park.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So where we lived, I don't think the wolves were so bad there. I mean, they are, but like near our house, they weren't so bad. So we can hunt on this side of the line, but not on the other side of the line. So now that we're here, it just makes so much more sense to...
Oh yeah, definitely. Where we used to hunt, we used to hunt Crown Land up like around Espanola, kind of going towards Manitoulin Island. And back in there is in the zone where you're not allowed to hunt wolves, and there's so many wolves around where we used to deer hunt, and it was just such a shame that we couldn't go in there and hunt, because it was like our hunt used to get blown year after year by wolves, and it was just like, it was like, well, let's see how long we can hunt until the pack rolls in. And it was like almost the same time every year. And then it'd roll in and everything just kind of dies down. And you could just, and you end up finding, I think the one year I found two or three carcasses just walking around.
Oh, wow.
That had been shredded. And it was like, it was just crazy. And that's all you're seeing is wolves running around and seeing the tracks and stuff, like seeing them in your stand. And it's just like kind of crazy out there.
Yeah. We go into the camp, and it's just, like there's just, you follow the wolf tracks down the road. They're everywhere. I heard one while we were moose hunting, and I actually went out in the bush with a call and sat there and just listening to the dying rabbit sound. Just kind of gave me chills. I'm out there by myself, but it's getting dark, and it's like, oh, it was a little creepy, but
jeez, eh?
Yeah,
that's wild. Yeah,
mm-hmm. We let our dog run around there too, so it's we can't really right now just because the wolves are so bad. But
Yeah.
We can't let him loose at home, but we will go into the cottage and let him go, and kind of had to put a stop to that just because of the wolves.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. You don't want to risk it, eh?
Yeah.
So I seen on Instagram too, you tried waterfowl this year too?
I did a little bit last year, but okay. I wanted to get more into it this year, but things just didn't go as planned. My husband's sick, and I just, with COVID and everything, I had a couple hunts planned, but I didn't really want to be around people. You know, he's in a hospital 4 days a week, so it just wasn't worth the risk, unfortunately. And
yeah,
it's not
for sure,
around here. I went out in September and October. I went out pretty much every single day.
Yeah.
But
oh really?
I was able to take a few shots, but unfortunately missed. My husband got a couple, but COVID kind of made it hard.
Yeah, it's been making a lot of things hard this year for sure.
Yeah. But hopefully next year I can get out there a little bit more.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Have you done any turkey or anything yet?
I have. Hunting or? Yeah, I've hunted turkey the past 2 years, I think. Haven't got one. I'm gonna.
Yeah, they're pretty smart, those little guys. Eh?
Well, we have.
And their eyesight.
Yeah, there's like 20 or 30 that come through the yard every single day, and I don't think there's any toms in them at all in the group. They're really hard to find a tom around here. There's one that hangs out on the side of the highway every day at 3 o'clock in the spring. He'd be there, I'd be at work, he'd be on the side of the highway crossing the road. I did see one near my house, but I got a few spots I'm gonna check out this next year, and I'm gonna go look for tracks in the winter, set up some cameras. So
yeah,
hopefully. I'd really like to get a turkey, but I mean, that's hunting, right?
Yeah, they're it's kind of funny. Like, I went out for my first one, and it didn't really work out right away, but then I ended up getting one, and then I tried to get my wife one, and just nothing would work for her. Like, we tried a few times and like just nothing worked out, and then the next year it just worked out that she wasn't able to come, and a buddy and I went down to a friend's place in Ottawa, and I ended up getting him his first tom, and then I was able to shoot my second tom, and then the birds are still hot, so then the next weekend she was able to come, so I brought her down. We had them all around us, they just wouldn't come into range, and then she still wasn't able to get her tom. And it just, like, that's just the way it worked out for her. So it was like 2 years in a row she hasn't been able to even get a shot off at one yet, and then now, you know, with the baby and everything, it's a little bit tougher. But she had a pretty good year this year. She's been hunting like crazy there through her pregnancy, and was able to get a lot of firsts there with waterfowl, and shot her first deer this year too. And so it was nice. Yeah. So you do a lot of bass fishing, or is there any kind of fishing in particular that's your favorite, or is it just kind of whatever you can get after?
Mostly bass in the summer. I try for other things. I'm just not very good at. I can catch bass all day, but I can't catch anything else to save my life. So it's not for lack of trying.
You have any good fish stories, or any of the ones that got away, or ones that didn't get away?
I had, back in the spring, I came home from work one day, and I went down to the dock, and I just looking to see if there were pike. I figured there wouldn't be, but I saw a bunch. I went up and grabbed my rod. I knew I didn't have a steel leader. I didn't have any of the right stuff, but I tried anyways. Yeah. I got the pike. He got him, half of him out of the water, and I went to grab him, and he snapped my rod in half. Broke the rod.
Holy jeez.
Yeah. Oh, he was huge. He had to be. Oh, I don't even know. But he was massive. Oh, I'm still upset over that. It would have been my first pike. But
that sucks. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I continued to fish with half a rod because it's all I had. And I was like, I'm going to catch this fish. But no, didn't. It was my favorite rod, too.
One of my favorites. That sucks.
Yeah. But I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this year. I'm going to get that pike.
Jeez, eh? What's do you have a favorite hunting story or fishing story or something so far? Usually we ask everybody kind of like what's your favorite, either your favorite, funniest, or biggest fail kind of adventure or hunt or fishing trip or anything like that. Do you have one of those? Or I know we've talked about a few stories there at do you have a favorite funny or fail kind of story?
I don't know. That I'm trying to think. I don't know. There's just so many stories. I had we were fishing last winter. Friends of ours had their ice hut. They had put it in a different spot, and it's a huge ice hut. I think you fit like 15 people in it. And we were fishing. We went out a few weekends and fished and caught some lake trout and some ling. And they moved the hut for a party, and I decided I was gonna fish. I'd had a few drinks at that point, and I'm trying to get my line down the hole, and I'm trying, and realize there's no hole. No holes had been drilled. I forgot the hut had been moved, and nobody had had drilled any holes. But everybody's watching me, and I'm just like, nobody gonna help me here. Like, I'm struggling, and look down, I realize, ice is frozen solid. Not really a story, I guess, but pretty ridiculous.
Oh no, that's still good though. That's a funny one. That's that's something that I can see someone doing pretty easily there. That's kind of funny.
I tried for so long to get that line down hole and nothing.
So I'm sure you got a long season ahead of you there with ice fishing and trying to get your first wolf and everything like that, or coyote, whatever really comes in. Is there any ice fishing adventures you're planning that you're hoping to get accomplished this year, or just kind of the same old?
I'd like to go to different lakes and fish. I went to a few different lakes last year. But again, with COVID and stuff, I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm going to fish a lot. And even if they're smaller lakes around here, because, we have lakes with walleye and stuff. And I'd really like to find a lake that has crappie, because we don't have them around here and I really want to catch one. But I don't know. I'd like to go up north and do the sleeping on the ice thing, but.
Oh yeah. We'll see. Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah.
We'll see. I'd like to do that here too. Actually, I see a lot of videos on YouTube of people setting up camp on the ice and fishing all night. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. It'd definitely be fun. And it'd be fun, like kind of vlogging it too. Right. That'd be a cool little video.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, if I can't travel, then hopefully I get to.
That's the only bummer, eh? That's like with this here, it's kind of like, it's especially with the podcast and stuff. It's like you meet a lot of people and it's nice to, to either go out and do some fishing or hunting or something with some of the people that you talk with and stuff. But it's like right now it's so hard to unless they're in your immediate group, it's kind of hard to get together and do stuff with people. Right. So,
yeah.
But, maybe when this whole thing kind of slows down, and everybody can kind of get together and start getting back out and enjoying the outdoors with each other.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, we're fortunate that I think there's like 2 cases here. It's not even in my town. And I mean, the people that I see, nobody goes anywhere. They all stay here, and at least being outside, you're not, hunting, you can still.
Exactly. Especially when you're doing it just with yourself or family or something.
So, I mean, I know the group thing and I'm very careful about, I don't really see people my friends here and I know they don't go anywhere and it doesn't make it okay, but, I mean, you're not sitting next to somebody out in the bush. So
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And even where we are, actually, they were talking about, I think tomorrow they're going to be lifting a bunch of restrictions here because we haven't had a lot of cases either. Like, I think we're going back to green or something. Or,
oh, nice.
There's so many colors and levels and stuff, but apparently it's
a good thing. We're in green.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I think I'm not 100%.
But, yeah, but no, it'll be nice to get back into the groove and, you know, maybe when stuff settles down, maybe, you know, we can team up and do something too and get you some, extra footage and, you know,
yeah, get for out sure. there.
It'd be fun. Yeah. You planning on trying to, do a lot of filming of your ice fishing this year, or are you, or is the show just going to be strictly for hunting, or?
No, I'm going to film everything and what they can use. And then otherwise
yeah, whatever. Put on
YouTube. And I actually thought I was going to take out my camera yesterday, and I thought I'm not going to be out here very long. And then I caught that fish and I had a few other bites and I thought, damn it, I should have had the camera, but I mean, whatever.
That's the worst too. It always works out that way. Like when I was filming like my ice fishing adventures last year, there was like, for the big lake trout, it was the same thing as like, you know, I'd bring it out and it's like, it would kind of be a slow day. And I was like, you know, it's been slow for the past couple of days. I'm not going to bother. And then that day it was like, that's when we caught like the 15-pound lake trout. And it's like, are you friggin' serious? Like, come on. But that's just the way it works. As soon as you decide not to bring that camera once, that's always when it happens.
Yeah. Well, I had a GoPro set up in my ice hut. I can't remember if I was wearing it or if it was set up in the ice hut last winter, and I caught a huge fish, and a friend of mine, she said she watched the video over and over and over again because my disappointment was so funny because I was swearing and I was so upset. It broke my rod and I lost the fish, and she just
you have that one? So.
Yeah, I think it's on you Instagram.
That's hilarious.
And she's like, I just watched it over and over again. She's like, your disappointment was so funny. And it's just like beep 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 because I beeped out all the swearing and I was so upset, but
yeah.
I'm glad I got it on video because it was pretty funny, but as upsetting as it was, but another rod, so
jeez. Yeah, they get stiffer rods. They're out to team you up with a buddy of mine there who makes custom rods there. That's you won't have that happen again.
well it was actually the rod that I broke with the pike was the open water version of the rod I broke ice fishing. It's just like a wrap.
Oh,
it's a cheap rod, but I had luck on them, so I liked them. But
yeah.
At least they weren't expensive.
That's funny. Yeah, and that's something I find too with filming is it's nice because I find myself looking back at some clips and videos and kind of rewatching and just kind of seeing like, you know, what could have played out different or what I could have done differently and stuff, you know, and kind of like watching game film.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like this spring, we were doing spot and stalk for black bear and I had my pregnant wife behind me filming and, we ended up seeing a black bear and, started making a move and got close to him. And, he was kind of walking right towards us right down the road. And then he turned and gave me a little bit of a shot and he was at about 20 yards and I had my 30-30 and I wasn't actually thinking of, I was just going to put one shell in just to quickly get out, but I'm kind of glad that I loaded the gun up. But I was crouched down and I took my first shot and he, you know, it was a good hit. He rolled and everything like they do, they kind of do like a tumble. And then, he got up and started charging right at me. And I reloaded and then my second shot kind of dropped him and he dropped like, you know, 15 feet in front of me. And in the moment, it was just like, oh, just reload and take another shot. You know what I mean? Like there was no panic or anything like that. But then like watching the footage afterwards, it was like, geez, like if I didn't make that shot or if I didn't put another bullet in that gun, like that would have been bad. Like that would have been, I would have had to, you know, like the first shot was good, but I mean, like I still would have had to try to survive and wrestle with this bear until it passed from the first shot, which would have sucked.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was just like one of those ones. It was like, you know, I just kept watching and watching and watching over and over and over again. I was like, geez, like that was crazy. Like, and to think like that's the distance I would have tried, you know, with my bow. It was just like this year I've had a chip in my limb and I just haven't went and gotten it fixed yet. So I've been doing a lot of rifle hunting. And I was just thinking, like, geez, if I would have did that with the bow, like, I would have been fighting that guy for a while until trying to survive until he passed away. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Made for good footage though, but, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But, yeah, well, we'll have to keep an eye out for your show. Let us know when you find out some air dates there, we'll definitely share it and post it up for you.
Yeah, for sure. We'll share it on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure, you know, maybe next year or once it airs and stuff like that, maybe we'll get you back on and kind of talk a little bit more about some of the stuff and or even hopefully if everything with COVID settles down, maybe we can, you know, have a podcast in person during a hunt or something like that.
Yeah, that would
but
be cool.
Is there anything you want to promote or anything you want to throw out there? Let everybody know what your Instagram is and YouTube and stuff like that.
Everything is LR Outdoors. There's some different variations, but it's my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube and Twitter are all just LR Outdoors. And yeah, I'm gonna try to be a little more consistent with the YouTube thing, but I always say that it doesn't work out, so
well, it's hard when you're, you know, living a normal life and trying to do all that at the same time. Sometimes stuff gets in the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, perfect. Thank you very much for doing the podcast. It was nice talking with you. Nice not really meeting you, but meeting you.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely talk more in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, guys, for listening. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please rate and review us, subscribe, share to your friends if you guys enjoy it. Also, check us out on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. You can find us at northernboysoutfitting.com where we have some t-shirts that we're going to be getting, new t-shirts, new designs, decals, stuff like that. You can also check out a little bit about us. We have some of our videos and hunting photos and stuff up there. Also check out Fuel of Fire TV. Check them out on Sportsman Channel Canada, Fuel of Fire TV on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Also kickabooshop.com, 10% off at checkout. With the code KIKANBO. And our next guest is Andre. He's also from down south, southern Ontario, Midland, where he has a homestead with his family. He's a professional forager, and that's a really cool podcast, getting into, you know, different wild edibles and how him and his family live and stuff. Really awesome. Hopefully you guys enjoy that one, so stay tuned for that one next Thursday. And stay safe out there, guys.
Well, he's a northern boy, but heart of a rebel. He grew up in the woods and baptized in a swamp.